You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. The Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful afternoon. And I promised you in the last hour that I was going to play a little sound from Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary nominee for the Biden administration. She was talking about Biden's climate agenda and how it's going to affect taxes. That's what people usually care about when their money's involved. And, you know, we had Brandon Michon on in the first hour, and he made the point of saying the government's really good at taking. And this is a great example of that. So I want you guys to hear Gina's response. And if you know anyone who voted for Joe Biden, you don't have to say I told you so, but I just hope they're ready to pay the price, literally pay a big price for all of these grand ideas that Biden and AOC and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they got some good ideas and they're very expensive. And there's nobody's money they like spending more than yours. So let's play. This is Gina Raimondo, Cut 20.
I, as governor, am deeply in touch with how much increasing bills affect the average American family. Having said that, we do need to meet the climate change challenge, and we need funds for improved infrastructure.
To meet the climate change challenge. She's not deeply in touch enough with how much it affects the average family, if that's her response. You can say, hey, I know raising taxes is tough, but ... then you know it's bad. Guys, in this last hour, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, but I'll take your calls on whatever you want, 844-500-4242. I had David Marcus on yesterday from The Federalist, and he's a great writer, and he's great on Twitter. He wrote a piece today. I'm going to read you guys a little bit of it. I like to read at least one story during the show. There's so many out there. There's so many great conservative publications. And this was the one that stuck out to me today. This is David Marcus. And the title of it is Donald Trump Fought for Us. Now It's Our Turn. And he talks about the joke, because people used to say on Twitter, if Trump would do something crazy, people would write, but he fights. And it was supposed to be making fun of Trump supporters who have always said, oh, but he's a fighter. He punches back. So that was the tagline, but he fights. And this is what David Marcus says. But the fact is, he was. He has won a lot of those fights, and his voters are better off for those wins. When the spurious allegations of long past sexual misconduct from now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh emerged, conventional wisdom said his nomination was over. Pre-Trump, that would have been exactly right. He would have been thrown under the bus in the time it took a Sandy Koufax fastball to reach the plate. It was the smart play, but instead, Trump fought. David goes on to mention moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, something a lot of U.S. presidents wanted to do. Trump actually did it. It happened because he fought. He started a trade war with China. He ordered the exact opposite of what Joe Biden wants when it came to the pro-transgender movement. He did not want females having to compete against biological men. Against all odds, Trump reduced American troop levels overseas, especially in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. He protected our soldiers. He goes on, and I'm skipping around here for time's sake, but he says, I probably used the but he fights line back when I feared Trump was a great threat to the Republic. You'd have to check my Twitter account. But I was wrong. It's not actually a joke. He really did fight for things that are remarkably important when far too many in the Republican Party just let them slide. Trump spoke for me and my ideas and the ideas of millions of Americans. Conservatives aren't supposed to fight. We are supposed to go gently into the dark night of leftist. Oh, this line right here. He mentions Norman Rockwell prints. He says, we're just supposed to hope our Norman Rockwell prints aren't confiscated and canceled. No, David French and Jonah Goldberg can keep doing that for whoever reads them anymore. But conservatives will not. We will keep up Trump's fight. Trump invited the American people to fight back. We can argue over whether he was a carnival clown, but as the examples above show, it was wildly successful. There is no going back. And he talks about how the leftist wish list of executive orders show exactly where we are. Democrats don't desire a detente. They desire domination over you, over your kids, over your community. Trump does not simply assume we are losing and trying to slow it down. He wants to win. And yeah, he lost. He fought, but he lost. Now it's our fight. Now it's our responsibility to save the country. Who's with me? That's David Marcus from The Federalist. It's called Donald Trump Fought for Us. Now it's our turn. And I think it's important because I read it from his piece yesterday where he talked about Mitch McConnell. And I think the desire of conservatives right now is so strong that we can't go back to the Mitt Romney days. We just can't. You can't go to a Trump rally and see all of these people who were forgotten about for so long stand outside for hours while Gloria is playing and Air Force One lands. And it's like a Rolling Stones concert. And then expect us to go back to Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell and all of these people who only care about keeping the status quo. It's like flowers for Algernon. How are you going to keep them down on the farm now that they've seen Paris? We've seen Paris. We know it's possible. We know that these things can be accomplished. David Marcus listed off all of his accomplishments, and there's a lot. You're not going to hear about it from Katie Turr or Nicole Wallace or Brian Stelter, but there's a lot of things Trump accomplished, and he didn't accomplish it by getting puff pieces written about him in the New York Times or getting a strange new respect or being, you know, the last man with decency. He was not very presidential, but he was a fighter. And I would take a fighter over a class act any day of the week. Tony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, I was going to say, I just caught the show by accident. I really was enjoying it.
Oh, thanks.
I got to say that I think the tax money for climate change is a great idea. I mean, we all live on the planet, but I was going to say this is Mother Nature calling in. Who's making sure that the money is getting spent on what it should be getting spent on, you know?
Well, yeah, that's
like another.
That's usually the problem. Huge. That's usually the problem with taxes is that. And I'm actually, Tony, it's funny you bring that up. I'm working on a piece right now where I talk about that because I've noticed that a lot of the successes I've seen over the past couple of months, whether it be Operation Warp Speed or anything else to do with money going back to small businesses, a lot of it has to do with the private sector. A lot of times all of these programs and these taxes, they don't work out the way we're told they're going to. They don't benefit the people who really need it. The government seems to overcomplicate things. They're very good at shutting things down, at taxing people, at taking your money, and at canceling events and, you know, telling your kids they can't come to school. But they're not really great with like ideas and getting money to people who need it and moving things forward. A lot of red tape. And I agree with you. I don't know who's in charge of. I guess it would be like Bernie Sanders and AOC. Those are the people who are going to make sure that this goes to the right places. You wouldn't mind. But the Trump administration did a lot for Mother Earth. Remember that program they had, like 1 billion trees or something? I didn't listen to a lot of those press conferences. I think Ivanka had a lot of them. But if you even listen to one or two, you could tell they were accomplishing a lot. Greta Thunberg is still going to give them dirty looks every time she sees a member of the Trump family. But that doesn't nullify the fact that they accomplished a good amount. Guys, keep calling in 844-500-4242. We have so much more to get to. And I really do want to get to a lot of this sound. I want to talk about Curt Schilling. Mike Barnicle took a few shots at Curt Schilling today on Morning Joe. Yesterday, Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, was talking about how Josh Hawley wasn't using his talents correctly. And now, today, Mike Barnicle is talking about how, even though Curt Schilling's talented, he has a character issue. I can assure you Howie Carr is going to have a lot to say about that in the next hour, but we will play the cup for you and find out what you guys think. A lot more to come. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, New England, to the Grace Curley Show. The reporters at the White House are weaning off of questions about milkshakes and Major and Champ, and they're actually asking, dare I say, I'm going to say some decent questions. And one reporter asked John Kerry what he would say to people whose livelihood, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, whose livelihoods depend on the Keystone Pipeline. And Live Shot Kerry has an answer for those people.
With respect to those workers, no two people are more in this room are more concerned about it. And the president of the United States has expressed in every comment he has made about climate the need to grow the new jobs that pay better, that are cleaner. That, I mean, you know, you look at the consequences of black lung for a miner, for instance, and measure that against the fastest growing job in the United States before COVID was solar power technician. The same people can do those jobs, but the choice of doing the solar power one now is a better choice. Similarly, you have the second fastest growing job pre-COVID was wind turbine technician. This is happening. 75%, 70% of all the electricity that's come online in the United States in the last few years came from renewables. Not, you know, coal plants have been closing over the last 20 years. So what President Biden wants to do is make sure those folks have better choices, that they have alternatives, that they can be the people who go to work to make the solar panels. They were making them here at home.
How about just choices in general? How about people have the choices? How about you don't shut down an entire industry? You leave the option open. And John Kerry wants us to believe that no one's more concerned about this than, he said two people, so I'm guessing he meant the president and himself. Right. Because John Kerry, no one knows the plight of the average worker more than John Forbes Kerry. That is almost as rich as John Kerry is himself.
I mean, listen, I know Lunch Bucket Joe was raised in the Scranton coal mines, you know, breaking stuff apart since he was a kid with Corn Pop and his grandpop or whoever. But do you really think an elitist like John Kerry seriously thinks somebody who mines coal for a living has the capacity to learn how to make solar panels? Come on. I mean, could you be anywhere? Just basically, no, you guys, you know, you got to get better jobs. You've done that? Oh, you could do this. You know, are they going to provide transition? Are they going to provide job skills? I mean, you can't just jump from one field to another.
My whole thing, Jared, is I have no doubt that the people who do that could transition, or it's not whether or not I think they're capable of doing it. It's just the fact that they shouldn't have to do that. It's not up to John Kerry to decide what choices are better for people. Just leave people alone. John Kerry is the government, and he's here to help you. I don't care how much confidence he has in people's ability to work on wind turbines or create solar panels. The same way, I don't think it's fair when people say, oh, learn to code. This is the new learn to code.
Right, that's exactly what it is.
Let me decide what I want to do. Just because John Kerry doesn't think that it's... oh, God, he's unbearable. And don't forget, this is the same guy who used to, I would say ISIS, but I know he preferred to call them ISIL. He thought a lot of the terrorism was sprouted up because, you know, people didn't have the opportunity to dine at places with nice menus. I'm going to get that exact cut because I always worry when I say it that I'm mischaracterizing it, but I'm pretty sure it's right along those lines. So we will find that cut. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn. Do what I did and enjoy this beautiful inn. I've been there once. I'm going back again in February. You guys can join me. My parents went. They're going back. It's just the best place. To reserve your room, go to follinsbeeinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should planes allow emotional support animals?
Okay, so Southwest has banned emotional support animals. Emotional support animals are no longer free to roam about the cabin on Southwest Airlines. The airline said Monday that it will let passengers bring trained service dogs in the cabin, but will no longer accept support animals starting March 1st. Customers who want to bring a dog or cat on board as a pet will have to pay a fee, and the animal must be kept in a carrier that fits under an airplane seat. I like this idea. I've never been, you know, sat next to seated next to like a goat or a python, or, you know, I've heard crazy stories, a hamster, whatever. But I've thought about it, and I see animals at the airport, and I kind of think, like, ooh, I hope I'm not sitting next to that thing. Also, I think a lot of people are allergic to dogs, and it's kind of unfair that you get to bring your dog on and just claim that he's a support animal and give everyone else itchy eyes. So I think that it's a good idea to ban this. But Jared, I'm curious what you think.
88% of the audience says no, planes should not allow emotional support animals. And as somebody who is allergic to dogs and cats, I agree.
Yeah, this is definitely going to benefit you.
I realize I'm the quote-unquote defective party in this one, but...
The weaker link, yeah.
Yes, but I should not be forced to sit inside a metal tube for hours on end with something that poses a detriment to me because somebody wants to bring their emotional support cat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't apologize. I feel the same way. So John Kerry just gave that statement. And here's the thing, guys. We have 4 more years of John Kerry. Don't turn off your radios. We're not going to play any more of him today. I'm just saying that doesn't it feel like we're back in 2008? John Kerry's talking about solar panels and wind turbines. I really thought we had evolved past this. I thought we all kind of made it clear we didn't want to talk about this stuff anymore.
No, this is Obama light. This whole next 4 years is going to be basically a bad sequel to Obama. It's going to be the Caddyshack 2 of the Obama administration.
Well, speaking of things we're not looking forward to, I saw this in the New York Times today. New estimates suggest the vaccine rollout is no match for the severity of the U.S. outbreak, and stricter social distancing measures will also be needed to reduce infections. And there's a little chart here, and the chart is, it reminds me of when they were talking about flattening the curve. And it says, if social distancing measures are in place until July, and then it shows like a little dip, and then it says, if measures are relaxed in February, which I guess is, you know, what the press is really fearful of, and it gets the hill gets a little bit bigger. And I'm just thinking, I thought it was 15 days. I thought it was 15 days to flatten the curve.
Well, St. Fauci was just on Fox News, and apparently there's now a new California coronavirus strain that has been discovered.
Isn't that a transgression or a microaggression against Californian people?
It's not signed into legislation yet, but I expect a Biden executive order.
Well, if you can't call it the China virus, how come you can say the California strain? That seems unfair to people from California who are on the I-95 taking the Southway to the beach, bro.
The 405, but yes.
You were in California for a long time. Do you think they'll appreciate this? This stigma?
I don't think they're even aware of it in California. They're all so high.
Yeah, man, I'm jealous. Honestly, the beach, the surfing, you get the fresh air. Guys, we will be back with more stuff to go through here. Oh, and I got to play that Mike Barnicle cup before the show ends. Mike Barnicle was taking shots at Curt Schilling. I find that amazing. As someone who's friends with Curt, I know he's gotten in trouble a lot on social media for, you know, different things he said. But there's just no denying, if you know Curt Schilling, if you really know him, not if you know who he's portrayed as by these people at the Boston Globe, if you really know him, you know he's an awesome, awesome guy. We're going to talk all about it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. A lot to get to. I do first want to play this cut. This is Mike Barnicle. You might know him from the Boston Globe. He had to resign because of a plagiarism scandal, which is weird because Kevin Cullen never had to resign. But Mike Barnicle did. And now he's on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski and a whole group of elitist people who think they're better than everyone else. Listen to what he had to say about Curt Schilling and the whole Hall of Fame. So the Hall of Fame picks came out last night. Curt Schilling was not chosen to be in the Hall of Fame. He released a letter about it. I read the whole thing. it really did explain a lot of how Kurt feels about the entire thing. And this was Mike Barnicle's take, Cut 17.
Is Kurt Schilling a Hall of Famer? Yeah, probably is. I think I'd probably vote for him in the Hall of Fame, except for I wouldn't vote for him because of the character issue that you just alluded to.
One, my first point, there's so many points to break down here. One is that Kurt Schilling, and I say this because I consider him a friend, he's a incredible stand-up guy. I mean, as far as being a dad and a husband and just a good Samaritan, I mean, the guy, charity-wise, work with ALS, he does incredible things for a lot of different groups of people. But even if he didn't, it's not the Hall of Character. It's the Hall of Fame. And if you think he's a Hall of Famer, then isn't that the end of the discussion? And also, who is Mike Barnicle to talk about character? Who are any of these people to talk about character? Who am I to talk about character? Like, we have to stop all pretending that we are the judge and jury of everyone. It's going to be... It makes everything so unbearable. We have to stop judging everyone about if they disagree with us, that they're automatically a bad person. Charles Krauthammer once said, Republicans think Democrats are stupid. Democrats think Republicans are evil. And we have to try, you know, they talk a lot about unity and doing all these things differently. Well, maybe we try to stop being the arbiters of who gets to exist based off whether or not they agree with all of our opinions. Or if someone offends you, that doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means you're probably easily offended. And they offended you. It doesn't mean that he's not a good husband or a good dad or a good baseball player or doesn't have character. It just means that you disagree with him. And that's actually, I hate to break this to Mike Barnicle. He's been on Morning Joe for so long, he probably doesn't remember this. But that's kind of what makes this country so awesome, is that people can disagree. Not anymore, of course. Now if you disagree, they'll call your boss, they'll dox you. And that's the culture that stuff like this has promoted. By all of us deciding, you know, what level of achievement people can reach based off their political beliefs. It's gross. And it's scary. And if you just sit back and go, well, I'm good because I voted for Joe Biden. I have a coexist bumper sticker on my car. I'm going to be fine. They're not coming for me. You're missing the point. That dad who spoke at the teacher committee, whatever it was, you notice that the first thing he told me in our interview, which I will retweet and put on the site and all that, one of the first things he said was, I'm in a position in life where I'm my own boss. I don't have to worry about getting fired. How sad is that? He's absolutely right. And it was one of the first questions I was going to ask him. But it's infuriating that someone had to speak their mind has to be in a position where they're not going to get fired from some corporation. Because we're all so sensitive. I don't care if you hate Kurt Schilling. The fact is that the guy, and Jared can tell you, Jared's more of a sports guy than me. I know I'm not a sports, but I watched. I know the bloody sock. I know all that. I'm from Boston. I saw it all go down.
Honestly, I felt the same way about this. If they have the numbers, put him in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, I don't care that he gambled. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Clemens Bonds, I don't care that whoever used steroids, I don't care. Put them in the Hall of Fame if they have the numbers. And the entire character issue around Kurt Schilling, because I used to work for ESPN, and I was at one of their organizations at the time where he sent out the quote-unquote transphobic tweet, and they had to let him go from, I think it was Sunday Night Baseball, I don't exactly remember, but it was big within the company. That's the entirety of the quote-unquote character issue. Nobody's ever actually been able to articulate to me what Kurt Schilling's character issue is.
No, right.
Like, nobody can explain this to me.
It's like if people say, oh, well, Trump's racist. Why? Can you give me an example? Oh, there's a million. There's a million. No. I don't need a million. Just give me one.
Yeah. Show me any type of racist policy, tangible policy that he's enacted, and they can't do it.
And I feel like you have to say, I feel like you have to say all the time, it's like when people write in their Twitter, you know, retweets aren't endorsements. I'm not saying that if you combed through everything Kurt Schilling has said over the last however many years, that I'd be on board with absolutely everything and I agree with everything he's ever said. But I can't say that about anybody. And I don't think you should be able to say that about anybody.
Yeah, can we talk about Ty Cobb's character issues for a minute, please?
I mean, no offense to the sports world, but there's a lot of character issues, if you want to go into it, depending on, you know, what category you're talking about. Football, they've had a lot of issues. But again, that's it only matters if you're a conservative. Otherwise, they don't care. Who was the guy? I'm really going to flex how bad I am at sports right now. Who's the guy with the dogs?
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. He did his time, right? He went to jail.
Yeah. Went to jail.
And everybody was fine when he came back. Like, I'm not saying people, you know, were saying he's the nicest guy ever, but people gave him a second chance. You have a better chance of being welcomed by the media right now if you have a history like Michael Vick than if you're a conservative. That's how bad it is to support Donald Trump. And what I loved about Kurt Schilling's letter was he said something along the lines of his dad told him to never worry about the opinion of people who you don't know and who don't know you. And it's so true, because I said this once to my sister. We were talking about some celebrity, and she had watched a documentary about her, and she said, oh, well, you wouldn't like the documentary because you have different politics. You know, she doesn't like Trump and you guys. And I said, I'll still watch the documentary. I said, I think she's a good singer. And then I said to my sister, but you know what's funny? She probably wouldn't sit down with me and have lunch if she knew my politics. I would go to her concert. I would pay to go to her concert. And she would probably be disgusted to be in the same room as me. That's the difference, is that some people can compartmentalize. Okay, we don't agree on everything, but you're a decent person. And you know, you love your family and you try your best every day. And some people can't. And it's sad, because if you can't do that, you're missing out on so much. You're eliminating so many people from your life. Some of the coolest people are going to be people that you disagree with. Some of my relatives, I don't agree with their politics at all. I'm actually baffled at their politics. But I love them. And I've had great conversations with them about other things.
You don't think they have a character issue because they feel differently?
No, I don't. I think the only character issue people have right now is that they can't seem to accept anyone's opinion but their own. And it's, I think everyone's had enough of it. And it's, I say this almost, I've said this so often, but it's very easy for people in my position who do this for a living to speak out. But I totally understand why people don't. Because these corporate CEOs have made it so easy. They fold at the drop of a hat to all of these angry Twitter trolls, and it's created a really bad culture that we're living in, and it's really not conducive to civil discourse and free speech. Ray, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, I just wanted to give some input on what they said about Kurt Schilling and his character issue or something like that. Now, I'm not new to New England. I've lived out here for 15 years or so, but I do come from Phoenix. And Kurt Schilling was the class of 85, and I was class of 86 at our high school. Not that we were good friends or anything like that. He probably never would have hung out with me. But what I do know and remember about the kid was he was such a historian of the game. I remember we had PE together, and baseball was, he knew everything about baseball. He wasn't at the house parties or anything like that. He wasn't a troublemaker. The kid, he was just always a classy guy. And when I move out to New England and I hear that people just don't like that he's an outspoken guy, and, you know, he speaks the truth. And I think what it comes down to is most people out here are just afraid of hearing it.
Yeah, yeah. And Ray, I think that if you hear what Kurt Schilling says and you don't think he's right about it, he'd be the first one to welcome you on his show or to talk to you about it. He doesn't care. He doesn't mind people disagreeing with him. I've disagreed with him before. Oh my God. When Kurt used to come on with Howie, he was in the studio one time. We had a conversation about cereals. We ranked our favorite cereals. Oh my God. The guy was furious at me. He thought my cereal choices were disgusting, but he wanted me on the show to talk about it. He likes different opinions. It's really rare to find that nowadays. Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, listen, Howie. All them executive orders that President Biden put up there, they were put up there while he's doing his wonderful little peace and unity speech up there. And in reality, they're done out of anger and resentment. Every single thing that had Trump's name on it, he had it on his desk and he put an executive order to it.
Yeah, and if you look at the numbers, I mean, he's had more executive orders in the first 3 days of his presidency than really anyone. I want to stick with this topic, though, because I see a lot of people on the line for it. Charlie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Bruce, you know something that's lost here all the time? You got Nancy Pelosi, how she went after General Petraeus. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was over pillow talk, right?
Right.
But her boy there with the Chinese girlfriend, the Chinese spying, that's okay.
Eric Swalwell, right. Yeah, no, I know. Not only is it okay, he's getting put on more committees. He's not only not being taken off of the Intel committee, he's being added to the impeachment management committee or whatever fake committees they're coming up with now. Yeah, thanks for the call, Charlie. Yeah, I find it interesting that Mike Barnicle would go down this road. He's their resident, like, Massachusetts guy, I guess. And like I said, fired from the Boston Globe for plagiarism. We'll have Howie Carr on next. He can tell us more about it. But as someone who's met Kurt Schilling, and again, not saying that we agree on absolutely everything, but character-wise, I find that amazing because I don't say this lightly. He is such a class act. He is. He's a stand-up guy, and he's very respectful and nice to everyone. He loves his wife, Shonda. She's great. And so I can't hear Mike Barnicle talking about how he thinks he has a character issue. Give me a break. You have a plagiarism issue, Mike Barnicle. And so does Kevin Cullen. And it's just the hypocrisy of these people. And they keep telling us, who we're allowed to like, who we're allowed to hang out with, who's allowed to have opinions, what choices we're allowed to make, what are the better choices, what jobs we can have, who we can vote for. I remember Kanye West said that. He said, and I'm paraphrasing again, but his parents, I think, marched in some civil rights things. And he said, they didn't march so that I could be told I have to vote for Hillary Clinton. This is the party of telling people what to do and telling you how you should feel and who you should like and who you should watch and who you should cancel. And you shouldn't let people tell you who to cancel, because I'm over the cancellation. No more cancellations. Everybody's welcome, especially here at the Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
And the lure of extremism can be hard to resist, my friends, if you are a child with nothing in your stomach and somebody offers you regular meals, companionship, and an upside-down worldview in which you have a place on center stage.
The lure of fracking can be solved if people can just start working on solar panels and wind turbines. That was John Kerry. We're going to have so much more of him in the next 4 years. I hate to break it to everyone. But on a happier note, we're also going to have more Howie Carr. Thank you for joining us, Howie.
Thanks for having me on, Grace.
All right, Howie, tell us what's on your mind today, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions about what I've been seeing in the news.
I think I'm going to talk about San Francisco. They can't reopen the schools, but they're renaming 44 different schools. Did you know that? 44.
I did see that, and the article I saw had a big picture of Dianne Feinstein on it.
Yeah, she had something. It was something with about a Confederate flag at City Hall when she was mayor. They also got rid of Francis Scott Key, you know, Star Spangled Banner.
Yep.
They got rid of Balboa, the Spanish, not Rocky Balboa, but the Spanish explorer. They got rid of the Alamo School. I guess we know what that's all about. Junipero Serra, he's a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, but he had to go. Sheridan and Sherman, Civil War generals. Robert Louis Stevenson, apparently Treasure Island doesn't meet the PC standards of the City by the Bay anymore. But and you know, many more, many, many more.
Well, Howie, speaking of this canceling of, you know, anything we don't like, did you see this story about a woman? She was from the Jennifer de Chiara Literary Agency, and she was fired, and this is their reason why. They got word that one of their agents has been using the social media platforms Gab and Parler. We do not condone this activity, and we apologize to anyone who has been affected or offended by this.
Triggered?
Just by using the app.
But Parler has been down for how long now? 3 weeks? A month?
Yeah, but there's no expiration date. Maybe they found some.
There's no statute of limitations on using. Anyone who ever used Parler is canceled hereby?
Yeah, and in other news, YouTube has officially suspended Donald Trump indefinitely.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just absolute craziness. But Howie, one thing I wanted to ask you about is, I know you and I have been critical of the vaccine rollout here in Massachusetts. Did you notice that WGBH published a story and they had all these quotes from an older woman? She's like 82 years old, and she was just ripping into Baker.
Really? Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah, the last line she said, she's 82. She said she concluded that the officials in charge of the Massachusetts vaccine rollout are, quote, either totally incompetent or they don't care.
Both. Yeah. Did you see last night? I read, I didn't watch it, but I read the transcript. Charlie Parker said that Massachusetts is a national leader in healthcare, and he said the healthcare system in Massachusetts is the envy of the world. That's why we're number one in deaths in nursing homes, number three in deaths overall. And have you seen the rollout, vaccination rollout numbers where Massachusetts ranks?
Yeah, we're pretty low on the totem pole, aren't we?
40th.
40th.
We're right behind Mississippi.
And the reason, Howie, I'm going to send you this column because I think you could read it in your show. The reason this woman is so mad is because she said a lot of people who work from home, who work at the hospitals, but they're like administrative people, are getting the vaccine before her. It's crazy. Guys, don't go anywhere. Howie Carr is coming up next. Thanks for joining the Grace Curley Show. We'll be back tomorrow.